Numbers chapter 13. Talk about an interesting subject this morning. We're going to talk about giants, grasshoppers, and grapes. Say, what's that all about? I don't know, but the grapes makes me hungry. So we'll be done on time. You'll see as we get to the story. This is a story of the spies that spy out the land of Canaan. We're gonna read through the chapter, so we'll skip around. Numbers chapter 13. We'll start at verse 1. Numbers 13, verse 1. Thanks for being here this morning. Hope you have your Bibles with you. Encourage you. Bring your Bibles each and every service. If you don't have one, I encourage you to get one. You need one, and you want to be reading that thing. You want to be learning from it. If you don't have one, talk to your Sunday school teacher. He'll buy you one. If you're in my class, speak to Ryan Rawl. He'll buy you one. Okay? But Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, and every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all the men which were heads of the children of Israel. So God says, get these guys. They're searching the land. Okay? Notice what he told them to do. Search. Okay? They're just going to look. They're just checking it out. That's all. Okay? And we'll see how that works. Go down to verse 17. Numbers chapter 13, verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get ye up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. Now they were going, and check it out. By the way, that just makes sense. They're going to be doing some fighting in there. God already said they were going to win the fight, and God was going to discomfort the enemy, and things were going to turn out well. But they're like, you know, a little recon there. Let's check it out. Where do they live? How can we get in there? Maybe God will give us a plan. Look at verse number 23. Numbers 13, verse 23. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The grapes were, they put on this pole between them. They're good sized, good fruit. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. They're coming back. They're going to tell them how everything's going. And they told them and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. He said, man, the land is good. And look at the fruit. This is how good it is. And then, like anything, like most things, it takes a bad turn from there. Nevertheless, that's usually a signal that you're going to get the trains being derailed. Are you with me? Oh, yeah, but, oh, man, you know, there's always a catch. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, Fleshlites, all those guys. They dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So he's starting to stir the crowd up. He's starting to get negative. Now, I like Caleb. Caleb says, okay, your report's over. I'm going to butt in. Okay, you just got to like, I'm not going to wait for my turn. It's time for me to just step up to the plate. So Caleb stills the people before Moses and says, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. By the way, that's the report they should have brought. The food's good. It's all good. Let's get our spears. It's time to go. Okay? So Caleb kind of butts in, says, all right, I got to kind of take over here. But the men that went up with him said, they have to open their mouths, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone and to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in their own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us, and thank you for this morning. Thank you for the folks that are here, Lord. I pray that you'd help us over these next few minutes to really to learn to sharpen our focus on the things in which you want us to focus on, not to get so caught up in the negative. Bless us now as we spend a few minutes together in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Let me go through the story. Of course, God had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt from the bondage that they were in. God's purpose for bringing them out didn't just end when they came out of Egypt. That wasn't just God's plan. It wasn't just some escape clause. Let's just get them out of the land, quit their griping, get them out from bondage, they'll be fine. God had another plan for them. If you are reading with the church's Bible reading schedule, of course, a couple weeks ago we were reading, or a week and a half ago or something like that, we were reading through Numbers, we're going through Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy here, as we read probably a couple days ago, in chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, says this. In Deuteronomy, God rehashes through all that they've went through to teach them lessons to prepare them for now that they are going to go into the promised land. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 22, it says, and the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, Egypt, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Do you understand what he's saying there? He's saying, I didn't just bring you out of Egypt to get you away from bondage. I didn't just bring you out of Egypt just to get you out of Egypt, and then I'm done with you. I brought you out of Egypt because it was time for you to get into Canaan, the land which I swear to your fathers, the place where I want you to be. You see, he had that good place for them. And now the spies are going to go in, and they're going to check it out. By the way, we understand this, coming out of Egypt and crossing through the Red Sea, that's a picture of salvation. God did it. Egypt's the world. That's how it is before we're saved. God parts the Red Sea. They go through. That's a picture of salvation. Now they're coming to the land of Canaan, and they're going to cross over there. And really, that's supposed to be a place of consecration, a place of living our lives based on the promises of God. It's a place of blessing. And God's, there they are again. There they are. They're ready to get. They're ready to go over. The wilderness was a temporary stopping point. Their place was Canaan land, the promised land, the land that flows with milk and honey. That's where they were to go to. That's where the blessings of God were waiting for them. That's where the provisions of God were waiting from them. But it would still be a land where they would have battles. By the way, God didn't hide that. You understand that. God had already told them that when you go, there'll be battles, but don't worry. I'm already discomforting the people. I'm going ahead of you. They're going to be scared out of their mind. And by the way, that was true. 40 years later, when they did go into the land, they sent some spies to check out Jericho, and Jericho was still afraid from what happened 40 years ago. But because of their fear and the spies, they wouldn't go. There was fights that needed to be fought. God had promised that he would be with them. He had promised that he would already discomfort and discourage the people of the land. They would hear about what God did in Egypt, and the people of the land would fear him. And by the way, you see that phrase. We heard what he did in Egypt. And that's 40 years ago. By the way, how come the children of Israel couldn't remember what God did? God did a lot of great things. They should not have been afraid of anybody. Now, the Christian life is a blessed life. That does not mean there isn't struggles. There will be struggles. Okay? But aren't you glad God's on our side? God helps us to get through our struggles. He doesn't promise there won't be struggles, but he does promise, I am with you during the struggles. And we can have victory. Our story here as we're beginning is the spies. They go into the land. They come back with their report. The land is just as God reported. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. I mean, listen, when they took it over, the houses that were there were going to be theirs. There was going to be crops that were growing and going forward that they didn't even have to plant. They just stepped up and took over. It was there just like God said. And the fruit was exceeding great. The grapes were huge. The spies did tell them that, but then they took that wrong turn. They took their focus off of the fruit onto the people that lived in the land. Their focus changes. And they start to stir the people up in a wrong way. See, they see the people of the land and say, they're huge, they're giants. And then when they see that, they start to describe themselves. They're so big, we're like small little grasshoppers. That's where the problem starts. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, tried to calm people down and say, listen, calm down, let's go. Grab your knives. I was going to say your forks, we're not going there, but grab your knives. Let's go. We are well able. Nevertheless, what a horrible word. What happened? Well, God says, fine, you don't want to go? You'll stay here. And you'll go in circles for 40 years. And basically, it's nothing more than a 40-year death festival. We're just going to walk around for 40 years until all of you die off, except for those of you, your children, and Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else, Funeralsville. You imagine how many funerals they had in 40 years? Because there was a lot of people. And they just waited for them to die off, one by one. They said, your children will get the land because you don't want it. All because some people turned them the wrong way. By the way, you know what the sad thing is? That's how most Christians live their life. Why in the world would you want to spend 40 years in the wilderness, the desert, no purpose in life, spinning your wheels, when God says, hey, come over here, I got something better for you. You know, I'm not the brightest guy in the world. Thank you for that. I am the best looking. But if someone offers me two things and one is better, I'm going to take better. Okay? You know, that maybe I'm carnal. Pray for me. I'll take better every day in the week. God says, I got a better life for over here. Yeah, there's battles you're going to fight, but you know what? Let me just tell you something right now. There's battles over here too. But there's battles over here. But you know what? I'm with you. This is the blessed life. Why would I want to spend my years spinning my wheels in the desert? God wasn't happy about it. How did this all happen? How did they get to that point? The key here is their focus. What are they focusing on? They focused on the wrong thing. The difference between failure and faith is focus. They failed. You know why? They focused on the wrong thing. They could have had great faith if they would have focused on the right thing. Well, what were some of the problems here? Let me give you three things real quick. First of all, I want you to see their real purpose. What was the purpose of them going into the land of Canaan in the first place? Verse 2 says, send thou man that they may search the land of Canaan. Here's three key words, which I give. God said, it's yours. I'm giving it to you. So they already knew that God was going to give it to them. Their purpose wasn't to go in to say, should we take the promised land? They were just going there to search it out. Verse 18, and see the land, what it is, the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak or few or many. and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what the cities are. He says, look, just go in there, and here's your mission. Check out the land. Get us ready to take it. They turned it into a mission to go in there to see whether or not they would go in. We don't just look at that. You know, that's how many people are with Christianity. Should I or should I not? Listen, let's find out what God says and let's do it. Let's not put everything up for debate. There shouldn't even have been that thought should have never crossed their mind whether or not they were going. That should have already been decided a long time ago. But that wasn't their purpose. The purpose was to prepare them for going into the land. Yes, they would see the blessings they would get, but they would also need to prepare for the battle that they would face. Also, to get them excited about what God would do. I mean, you know what? Most people hate to take risk. We live our lives squandering our lives, wasting our lives because we're not risk takers. The safe life. Just going to this and doing that. You know what? Serving God takes a little bit of risk. Let's do it. You know what it is? It's like when Peter walked on water. All the disciples were there. Here's Jesus walking on the water. And they had to flag him down. He acted like he was going to walk by. Hey, hey. Peter goes, he's the only one. He says, that's pretty neat. He's walking on water. And he says, Jesus, if that's you, can I do that? Now, how many of you would have thought of that? By the way, it wasn't like, you know, the pond over here at Hartwell Park, all right? Brother, it was a raging sea. Okay? He says, I want to do that. And Jesus said one word. He said, come. He said, not for me. He hops out of the boat. He said, come. I'm done. Boom. He walked on water. Now, I know what we think. Oh, but he started to sink. How many of you have ever walked on water? You see, we're all attached to the boat. I ain't getting out of the boat. Well, brother, you never get to walk on water. Oh, but Peter failed. No. He was successful for a while. I'd rather fail at something that's important than to succeed at something that's worthless. I am on the deck of the boat. Man, I would like to be one. I say, man, I walked on water. It was Jesus and myself. That was it. Risk. But you know what we're doing? The other 11 were looking over saying, oh, look at all those waves. Uh-uh. I don't care what Jesus said. You know, you would have thought maybe they would have taken their cue. As soon as Peter dropped off and he was taking a couple steps, I would have been saying, hey, I should have done it first, but I'm in. Can I do that? They're all like, something bad's going to happen. But yeah, you ever notice? They're looking for something bad to happen. Brother, risk. Life's about serving God. And yes, it's different. And yes, there'll be changes. But you know what? It's good. Amen. Don't look for excuses not to serve God. Oh, this could go wrong. Okay. And then you get up and find another path. Risk. By the way, there's great reward. I like that verse in Psalms chapter 34. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. God says, hey, take a bite. Look, I don't care how good a plate of food looks. Brother, dive in. You don't know what it takes. By the way, have you ever had something that looks good and it's horrible? Been there? Yes. By the way, have you ever had something that looks bad? But brother, it's on. I don't care what it looks like. I'll just be real honest. I don't care what it looks like. I know, you food channel holics. Oh, the plating, it looks good. They put the little stuff. Who cares? You know where it's ending up? I care about the taste, okay? We ain't got time for fanciness. Throw the lasagna on the plate, get a couple pieces of bread, go to town. We're too busy staring at the plate. Well, maybe it wasn't washed properly. Maybe this is, brother, eat. Well, I don't know about the serving God thing. Taste. He is good. Let me just ask you a question. Just throw this out. Do you believe the Bible or not? Okay, he says it is, so do it. We talk about risk, and really, it's silly. There is no risk. Okay, there's risk in not serving God. Taste and see. But that was their purpose, but they didn't see it. Look at number 2. So first we saw their real purpose. number two, we see their rotten pronouncement. Man, this thing, nevertheless, that's horrible. Now, don't you hate that? But, you know, hey, let's do something for God. Oh, it sounds good, but, well, this could happen. A lot of things could happen. But we have to seek to do it. When they said nonetheless, bad news was coming. When they said nonetheless, criticism was coming. By the way, if they're not trusting God, oh, it's going to kill us. Well, who are they? Who are they bad-mouthing? God. What are they saying? They said, yes, God was right when he said the land is good. Yes, God was right when he said the fruit was good. Okay, you got two out of three. What about the third one? God said you could defeat the inhabitants of the land. Oh, we'd be not able. We can't do it. Wait a minute. Wait. Everything else God said was true, but that part's not true? You see, we kind of pick and choose. Horrible. I like Caleb. Caleb stands up and tries to change their mind. The reason we would be able to go into the promised land and have victory is because God is able. By the way, yeah. In our eyes, sometimes we are grasshoppers. But God is able. So they stir the people up. Look at Psalms chapter 124. Here's the reason they could have been successful. Here's the reason we can be successful. Psalm chapter 124. It said, Psalms chapter 124, verse 1 to 8. We'll read the whole psalm. I'll give you a second to get there. Psalm chapter 124. He says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us and the stream had gone over our soul. Look at all these things that could happen to them. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us to a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare, and as fowlers, a snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You know why they would have won? God was on their side. I remember many years ago, early days of our church, we used to have all these basketball tournaments and leagues to reach all the kids in our neighborhood. We had a New Year's Day tournament one time, and I wasn't going to play, and Kumley came up and said, you know, I'm getting a team together. I thought, man, I don't want to play on New Year's Day, but I'm like, who's on the team? And he told us, you know, and I'm like, that wasn't a very good team, okay? No, I was going to be on the team. That was going to help immensely. But you know, there's all these kids that would play, and there was a lot of good players. But I thought, you know what? I'll play. I'll help Kumali out. So I went there, and there was a kid that he used to go to school with that he recruited to be on our team. And as soon as that first game played, I saw this kid play. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be a good day. That kid was good. I mean, he dominated. And we won the whole tournament. I mean, that kid was good. You know why we won? Because that kid was on our team. He was on our side, and that helped. You know what? God's on our side. They should not have been afraid. The spies quit looking at the fact that God was on their team, and they stirred everybody up. By the way, can I just tell you something? Don't listen to the crowd. They're always being negative. It's everywhere. By the way, real godly Christianity is always for the minority. The majority just jump on board for some reason. But you know what? You know who the blessing comes to? The minority that jump on board. Be careful. We are so apt to listen to what others say. We think everything's great. One person says something. By the way, we don't know the whole story. And all of a sudden, everything's horrible. There was 10 bad ones and 2 good ones. Guess what? 10 were wrong. Well, how does the song go? 10 were bad and 2 were, I don't sing. And that's good for you. But 2 were good, okay? But we always follow the rotten pronouncement of those who are in the minority. I know God is able. Naysayers are everywhere. Well, it's just not going to happen, blah, 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 blah. No, if God's in it, it'll happen. And then let's look at the last thing here, their recognition problem. Their recognition problem, and this is really the whole of it. What was their problem? We mentioned it earlier. It was their focus. They were focusing on the wrong thing. They missed their chance in the promised land because of their wrong focus. By the way, they still had battles in the wilderness. By the way, they still had problems in the wilderness. The only problem was people were dying every day from God's judgment, and the promised land was over there, and they're living in a horrific situation. The focus. There was only one thing that they totally lost by their decision, their purpose in life. By the way, when we read through Numbers, all it was complaining. Seriously, complaining. Complaining. You say, how can people complain so much? You know, it's easy for people to complain when they have no purpose in life. When they have no focus on something more outside of themselves. When they have no vision of what God wants to accomplish in their life. Everything is about all the small little nitpicking nonsense around here. All the little nitpicking things of life are just there. Okay? Hey, let's have a greater focus. Our Sunday school class, we talked about the Great Commission. God wants us to win the world to Christ. That's it. That should be the goal of our life, to honor and glorify God in everything we do and do everything we can to help other people. If you're not doing that, you're living for yourself. You know what happens? You have no purpose in life. And you're going to wake up one day later on in your years and you're going to say, where did all the time go? By the way, the older you get, the faster time goes. Okay, Brother Pichardo told me that. I have no idea what that means. Just goes fast. And you're going to look back at your life and say, I've spent 30 years and what have we accomplished for God? So that doesn't mean you need to be the next missionary. But it means you can still be used by God to make an effect in somebody's life. But they complained. They wandered until they died. By the way, that sounds like a bad life strategy to me. You know, what's your goal in life? Well, we're going to go in circles for 40 years, and they're going to stick a little cross in the dirt where we're at. Sounds good. Don't sign me up. Okay? Now, by the way, all of us are going to get a little cross in the dirt. Okay? That's how it works. If you're lucky, you might get a tombstone. That's great. But what's going to go on until that time? Hey, let's be involved in something that's exciting, that's godly, and get God's purpose in our life. Complainers blame somebody all the time. Say, how do you know? I'm going to tell you this. I am a complainer. So are you. We all complain. It's easy. Something happens, it's so-and-so's fault. Something happens, it's the church's fault. Something happens, it's the school's fault. My little Einstein, what? He got a 40%? Don't they know that's my kid? That's Alma's child? That's why they got 40%. Steve's kids get 95 to 100. Alma's child. But why, when they're bad, are they always your kid? Well, when you come home and you see this, that means run. Means bad things are coming, cowboy. Now, if your husband does that, you should run too for other reasons. Okay? Yeah, look, remember, you get bad habits. I remember one time, Stephen was a little boy, and he was in one of the little boys' league, and he's waiting at the foul shot, and he's like this. And I'm like, brother, what are you doing that for? He goes, Dad, when you play, that's what you do when you get tired. And I'm like, oh, man, I look like a girl. How do you look tired like a man? Okay, do you know what your son did today? Like, serious, last time I looked, he's more Hispanic than me. You know, you're the Hispanic one, he's got dark skin. Always blaming somebody else. It's my boss's fault. It's my spouse's fault. Well, in some cases. That's what complainers do. Why? No purpose in life. They miss God's purpose or focuses on the wrong thing. What's the issue here? We're running out of time. Let me give you three things underneath the recognition problem. First of all, their focus was on the giants. That's an outward focus. We look at all the stuff that's going on in our life. We look at all the problems, and they're so big, we're like, the problems are too big. No, they're not. Problems are things you can get through. The problem is you focus so much on the problem and it's so huge, you make it worse than it is. By the way, they didn't even have to suffer casualties in their battles. When they suffered casualties, it's because there was disobedience. Can you imagine that? We're going to go to war. We're going to win. We get their land. We get their houses. We get their spoil. They're all dead. We all live. This is good stuff. but we focus on the outward. Look, a problem is there. It's there. You have to deal with it. Don't make it worse than it is. Don't make it worse than it is. We get so outward focused, we forget everything else, and everything's the problem. The problem. And everything else in your life starts to shut down, and all that stuff starts to go because of the problem. Hey, deal with the problem. The giants. What's a giant in your life? Is there something today that's just a focus in your life, and it's kind of flavoring everything in your life right now because of this problem? Hey, get your focus off the problem. Now, I'm not saying be irresponsible. It has to be dealt with. But you know what? Don't let it ruin your life. You know, sometimes over the course of life, bad things happen to people in their past. And that's a shame, and it's tragic. But can I just tell you something? Some people, all they do is focus on that problem the rest of their life. And that problem that tormented them in the past now ruins their future. You're letting that problem dominate your life? It could be something somebody else did. Can I just tell you something? For your sake, get over it. For your sake. Don't let it ruin your future. But we do that all the time. That outward focus. Then we see the grasshoppers. What is the grasshoppers? That's the inward focus. Now we start getting down on ourselves. Well, obviously, because the giants are so tall, there's nothing I can do about it. Well, what does the Bible say? I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Yeah, you can. Not because of who you are, by the way, because you're nothing. Thanks for coming to church this morning. You're nothing. I'm nothing. You realize we were made out of dirt. You with me? So when it rains, you're mud. That's all you are. But that inward, we start, now I'm not saying, but you know, you do need to realize who we are in Christ, right? I am nothing because I'm Steve Myers. But I am something because I'm a child of the King. What does that make me a big shot? Yeah, it does. Why? Because he's a big shot. And it's because I'm representing him. And some people enjoy it. Well, you know, woe is me. I just can't do this, that, blah, blah. Snap out of it. Okay? God wants to do wonderful things in your life. But if we have that negative focus, it's not going to happen. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Hey, I remember when Emily was born, she was a little baby. Somebody got her a t-shirt, and it said, I'm kind of a big deal. Like, she is a big deal. You know what? You're kind of a big deal to God. Yeah. And you know what? There isn't any problem God will bring in your life that he will not allow you to get through. If you have the proper focus. Problem's too big. I'm too weak. Giants. Grasshoppers. So what's the focus? The grapes. The upward focus. They missed it. Now look, if someone comes walking to the camp, two guys have a pole, and there's one cluster of grapes on that pole, I want to know where that came from. Are you with me? It's like, where'd you get that? Now you realize they were in Egypt before. The food probably wasn't very good there. They're scouring around in the wilderness. That's a bad idea. I'm like, where'd that come from? That came from the place where God said it came from. The promised land. The land that flows with milk and honey. If their focus had been on that, it's like, there's giants over there. Yeah, I know, but there's fruit. And there's a good land over there. But you don't understand. We're a lot smaller than those guys. That's okay. God said we'll beat them. The fruit. It's the blessing. By the way, you know people work hard to get something they feel is of an important value. I heard, I don't know what it is, somewhere in Northern California, there's an old, old tunnel that was dug. I forget the guy's name now. I just read it the other day. And he started in about the early 1900s, and he dug this tunnel for about 25 years. Now, he told people he was building this tunnel to as a little a road to get underneath this, I think it was a rock or a mountain. Well, years later, they leveled it off and built a road. He didn't need to build it, but he said, well, I've been working on this for 20 years. I'm going to keep working on it. I just want to finish what I'm doing. Amen? Well, come to find out later, there was gold in there. He just didn't want anybody to know. And so he said he's building a sanctuary. He's taking gold out. Okay? He worked hard for all those years digging a tunnel by hand with primitive tools because there was something good in there. You know, if you see something that's good, you're willing to put up with everything it takes to get it. Okay? It's worth fighting for. You say, you know what? We're new to church here, and our marriage and our family, we're struggling. Can I just tell you something? It's worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for. You say, but there's these problems in my life, and I just focus on what can happen. Focus on what God promises. Forget the nonsense about the problems. They're always going to be there. Always going to be there. Forget about your own inadequacies, because I'm just going to tell you something. They're always going to be there. Focus on what God says. God says the grapes are over here, the blessings. Yes, you're going to have to fight, but I'm going to help you fight. I'm going to give you the power to win that battle. But you're never going to get the grapes if you're focusing on the grasshopper and you're focused on the giant. Where's your focus today? Is your focus on the Lord? Or is your focus on all the peripheral nonsense that goes around in our life on a regular basis? Because what you focus on is going to determine what you get. And can I just tell you something? 40 years later, their children got it. After 40 years of watching their parents and all the gripers complaining, die in the wilderness, when they said, hey, let's go, they're like, let's do it. Let's go. What's your focus on today? Do you see giants everywhere? By the way, people that see giants accomplish nothing. Do you see yourself as a grasshopper? Because you're not going to accomplish anything either. Well, you know, if I tried to do something, I might just fail. I'd rather fail than do nothing. Or is your focus on what God says? The blessings God has for us, but we have to put the effort in. Let's bow our head and close our eyes this morning.